falling down on Mr. Wilkie, and the cheers go up once again. Mr. Wilkie made a very quick passage down the middle aisle. We were right behind him with our CBS portable transmitter, and then he moved up, swiftly went to the speaker stand, and now photographers are all around him here. Flash bulbs are popping all over the place. Mr. Wilkie stands, smiling through it all. Now it's literally a thunder shower of confetti. There the cheers go again. And the scene is one of happy pandemonium down at the speaker's stand. Back to Bob Trout.
And we're in the CBS booth again, waiting for Chairman Joseph Martin to restore order. Mr. Wilkie standing there, huge, burly, dark-haired and blue-eyed, waving his hands to the photographers who won't let him alone, has his hair and shoulders almost completely covered with that fine confetti, which came down indeed like a summer shower after the flickering of lightning, which was the flash bulbs of the photographers. Mrs. Wilkie is at his side, and we can't quite see her. She's shorter than he is and shorter than the policemen and the officials who surround the two, Mr. and Mrs. Wilkie, on the rostrum. They're both half covered with confetti, and Mrs. Wilkie had a hard time getting through the crush coming down that center aisle. Chairman Martin still hammering back again to the rostrum to see whether he can yet restore enough order to introduce the party's nominee. Chief, the traditional music piece which greets the President of the United States. Chairman Martin is hammering for order. The confetti continues to fall in sudden squalls, and now and then a large colored balloon still drips around in the audience. The convention will please come to order, says Chairman Martin, and back again to the rostrum where he is trying to get it.
The convention and the delegates of the convention greatly honored this afternoon. First, I want to present to you the charming lady who is to be the next mistress of the White House, Mrs. Wilkie.
And for Mrs. Wilkie, they all stand and cheer, but she intends to make no speech. She turns around promptly and walks back toward the speaker's platform, out to the rostrum.
We've had a fine convention, one which has been full of enthusiasm and optimism. The Republican Party is now going to enter into a campaign which means much, not only to the party, but to the country. In these trying days, both at home and abroad, there is a demand for vigorous, virile leadership. There is a demand for a leader who can fearlessly tackle these great problems which confront America. There is a demand for a leader who can bring America back to sanity and to progress. The Republican Party believes that in this convention they have selected such a man. They believe in Wendell Wilkie. They have a man, a great American, a virile, forceful American who will carry the Republican principles to the people of this great country. And I'm sure he will so impress both his splendid personality and the issues which he'll represent the American people that he'll be the next President of the United States. We feel highly honored that he has consented to come here this afternoon and extend to us just a brief word of greeting. He told us, as you know, last night that he was prepared to enter this campaign with every ounce of strength that he possesses. He asked us that we do the same, and it's only a natural request. One man cannot win this great fight that's ahead of us, but all of us who believe in America who believe in the rugged, virile principles that have made this country what it is today, if we all unite with them, I am sure we will have that victory. And I'm happy to present to this convention our candidate for president, the next president of the United States, Wendell Willkie.
Chairman Martin steps backward and leaves Mr. Willkie out there on the forepeak of the rostrum all alone. The scene is repeated again. Everyone stands, everyone cheers, and everyone waves. Wendell Willkie waves back to them with his big right hand, a hand with which he was using just a moment or two ago to try to comb some of the confetti out of his bushy hair and off the shoulders of his blue suit. The photographer's taking his picture once again. Mr. Willkie will speak in a moment. That conversation comes from the photographers who are requesting various poses from Mr. Willkie, and once in a while you can hear him responding to them.
Ladies and gentlemen, I doubt if in all the history of American political conventions any convention has ever been presided over with more impartiality and more fairness and more ability than this one has been presided over by Joe Martin. And I want to say to the members of this convention that as your nominee, I stand before you without a single pledge or promise or understanding of any kind except for the advancement of your cause and the preservation of American democracy. It's a moving and an appealing and an almost overwhelming thing to be the nominee of a great free convention of this kind. I doubt if any man who has not experienced it, as it could imagine and understand the full import of the emotion that it brings to one when such an obligation comes to them. I wanted to come here to you this afternoon not to discuss policies or principle, but merely to thank you, express my appreciation, and tell you of the deep sense of dedication that I feel to the cause that you've asked me to lead. Democracy and our way of life is facing the most crucial test that it's ever faced in all its long history. And we here meet not as Republicans alone, but as Americans, to dedicate ourselves to the preservation of the democratic way of life in the United States, because here stands the last firm, untouched foothold of freedom in all the world. And as your nominee, I expect to conduct a crusading, aggressive, fighting campaign to bring unity to America, to bring the unity of labor and capital and agriculture and manufacturer and farmer and worker and all classes to this great cause of the preservation of freedom. I think as one who has been a member of each of those classes in the course of my brief life, I understand that in America, they all have a common purpose at this time, that this way of life shall not pass from this earth. For the rehabilitation of American economy, for the building of an adequate defense, so that no dictator, however strong, may seek to strike, for the unity of our people, for calling again America to its great tradition of progress, I pledge myself to you, and I ask each of you to join with me in this great crusade. Only 48 days ago, I started out to preach to the American people the doctrine of unity, the doctrine of the destiny of America, and the fact that I'm the nominee of this convention at this time proves conclusively how appealing are those simple doctrines to the American people. So, you Republicans, I call upon you to join me, help me. The cause is great. We must win. We cannot fail if we stand together in one united fight, and I thank you.
The nominee of the Republican Party in this 1940 presidential campaign, who now stands upon the rostrum for one final wave of his big right hand for the benefit of the photographers and for the benefit of the 2,000 delegates and alternates in this now closing Republican convention and the spectators who crowd into the balcony. They're whistling, they're shouting, they're waving some of those colored balloons which stream down from the ceiling when Mr. Wilkie entered, and still with those extremely vigorous gestures which he used also while speaking with no manuscript whatever, Mr. Wilkie is greeting the delegates who are waving back to him. The state standard of Ohio is being waved toward him, and the standard of Michigan is being raised up and down as if a delegate is trying to get it out of its holder down there on the convention floor. When he speaks, Mr. Wilkie leans forward, his big shoulders sloping slightly, gripping the edge of the microphone stand with both hands. His hair flies about as he shakes his head while emphasizing words as he speaks. He had no manuscript whatever today, but he makes extremely vigorous gestures as he talks. At that moment, you could hear those few words in the background. I stopped so that you could get some of them. I didn't hear what he was saying, but Mr. Wilkie suddenly lunged forward over the microphone stand and addressed a few words to some few people who are standing there in the congested center aisle. It's impossible to guess who those people are. Probably some other delegates. Mr. Wilkie just leaned over and spoke.